Stuff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Okay, there's no question that there's one sporting occasion that's grabbed everyone's attention, even if you're not a fight fan. And of course, the build-up to the fight might even be better than the fight itself. And that is why Sandro from Skybet has been out in Vegas for a week, soaking up the McGregor-Mayweather mayhem. Morning to you, or evening to you, Sandro. Is it midnight there?
Yeah, it's we're in the wee small hours. It's 10 to 1 in the morning here in Vegas. And yeah, to touch on your point, Steve, I've never known a build-up like this. You know, we've all been in fights and been involved in boxing and been fans and been involved in the media side of things. This is on a whole nother level. It's just unbelievable.
Are you so glad you've come out for the week to experience the press conferences and day by day how things have changed? What have you seen so far?
Yeah, it's been incredible. And to be honest, we made the decision to come out early and it was the right thing to do. They had the grand arrival of the fighters on Tuesday outside the T-Mobile Arena where the fight will be held. And there wasn't a huge media presence there, which gave us unbelievable access. The highlight, I suppose, was a spat between Conor McGregor and Paulie Malignaggi. Everybody's seen it on social media, that the videos of Paulie Malignaggi getting knocked out by Conor in sparring. They had a little bit of a confrontation, and Paulie was very vocal in his in what part of his anatomy he felt Conor should be bringing to the fight on Saturday. So that was very interesting. And then subsequently we had the press conference yesterday, and then we had the press conference for the undercard today. And at the press conference for the undercard today, I tried to grab Paulie Malignaggi to have a word with him, and Paulie told me that Showtime have stopped him from doing any more interviews. If he does any more interviews before Saturday, he'll be on a flight out of Vegas.
Wow.
So that tells you sort of how explosive that confrontation between the two fighters was. But, you know, it's been absolutely incredible. And it's amazing, I think, what Conor McGregor has achieved and what he's delivered to put this fight on the level it is. It's like nothing else we've ever seen before.
Well, what have the attendances been like for those press conferences this week and just the pre-fight hype?
Well, interestingly, obviously they had a big roadshow with press conferences in the build-up to the fight. They did Toronto, they did Vegas, New York, and of course London. They were open to the public. The press conference yesterday wasn't open to the public, and it was a lot more subdued. Both fighters were a lot more respectful towards each other, and you just felt whether that might have been something that the Mayweather camp had controlled. Because the one thing you get with Conor is he's great in front of the camera. He gives you one unbelievable sound bites. Mm. And the crowd feed off that, and then he feeds off the crowd. And with no crowd there, his usual sort of quips and digs, they didn't get the laughs, they didn't get the cheers, and they didn't get the songs that the Irish fans give him. So you felt that was quite manufactured. I think what we're going to see tomorrow at the weigh-in will be something completely different. You know, Vegas is buzzing tonight. There's Irish fans everywhere. There'll be even more arriving tomorrow. And I think what you'll see at the weigh-in tomorrow will be an unbelievable crowd and unbelievable support for Conor McGregor.
I think McGregor has won the battle of the two in terms of the pre-match hype, and he's done it by quite a distance. I wonder whether Mayweather would have expected it to be that way. There's a lot more love, it seems, for McGregor than Mayweather. Or have I felt that wrong?
No, I think you felt that absolutely right, Steve. I couldn't agree more. I think it's for multiple reasons. I think Conor's rise, and it is stratospheric in what he's achieved. He's the working class boy done good, and I think people can still relate to Conor McGregor because he's done it so quickly, and I think that's a big part of his appeal. And I think his self-belief and confidence is, it's so catching. You know, I'd imagine, I haven't spent time in his company, I'd imagine if I spent 10 minutes in his company, I'd believe he could win this fight. You know, his confidence is infectious. And I think everybody's bought into that and latched onto that. And I also think, Mayweather is one of the greatest fighters of a generation, but he's never really been too concerned about making himself popular and endearing himself to the masses. And I think he actually revels in the role of playing the pantomime villain.
Mm. Mayweather has much more to lose if it all goes wrong for him.
Absolutely, yeah, completely. And I think I mean, I spoke to Carl Froch earlier today and said, you know, what does success look like for Connor? And he's already achieved more than anybody thought he could achieve, really. You know, he's a UFC fighter who is now going to be part of the biggest grossing boxing bout in the history of the sport. So from that respect, Connor's won already. Mayweather can, unless he wins with an early knockout, people are going to be critical of him. But Mayweather has never really been concerned again about entertaining the masses. All he cares about is his record being 50-0. So, you know, that will be the only thing that happens. That will be the only thing that will matter to Mayweather in the course of the fight. What this means for the future of Mayweather, whether he decides to fight again, what this means for the future of Conor McGregor, I think, is really interesting, and his future within the UFC and potentially the future of the UFC as a whole. I think we're in a really exciting territory and sort of timeline of events, really.
Given the bizarre sort of amount of hype that the bout has had, sort of worldwide, it's got this absolute global prominence at the moment, hasn't it? But it hasn't sold out. There's sort of 2,000 tickets left unsold. Is that because they're just too expensive, or will they actually get snapped up by a late flurry of Irish fans arriving there, Sandro?
No, I mean, this is really interesting, and it's certainly been a lot of the talk, you know, in and around the media at the fight, and various people that are out here. You know, anytime you go to Vegas, there's probably somebody you know that's here on a stag do or a girls or lads weekend away. And this is fascinating that everyone feels that both Mayweather and McGregor, they've completely priced the working class fan, if you like, out of the market. The cheapest tickets going for $2,500, and
wow,
there's still plenty of tickets available. Still plenty of tickets available to buy on general sale through the ticket agency. Interestingly, now the touts, you know, you could buy a ticket for face value, or a face value ticket for about 40% under that. I think people are losing a lot of money on this, and I suppose that is a real shame that that this should have been an event that was unbelievably well watched and supported. I mean, you bear in mind the T-Mobile Arena, it only holds 22,000. The fact that they couldn't sell 22, or haven't been able to at present sell 22,000 tickets for the fight, tells you just how they've got the pricing structure wrong, really. Because, like you say, you know, Conor McGregor was fighting UFC fights at the MGM Grand recently, and you could pick up tickets for $100, $50. So it's strained that approach, but I suppose it's a decision the fighters and the promoters have taken. But it is sad to see, because ultimately, you know, it should be about the fans watching this spectacle.
Well, it's priced the normal fans out of the market. I've just found a graph here. So they started at $2,500 to get into the arena. You can get a ticket now for $1,300. But seriously, Sandro, would you pay that amount of money for any sporting occasion?
Me personally, I think it would depend on the sporting occasion, and I suppose it would depend on my wealth. At the moment, in answer to question, no, I wouldn't pay $1,300,000 to watch any sporting event. I think the fascinating thing is, in 3 weeks' time at the T-Mobile Arena, you've got Gennady Golovkin against Canelo Alvarez. Now that's probably going to be the best fight we see in the next 2 years, and that's sold out immediately. Now that's as a result of the two fighters being two of the best pound for pound fighters on the planet, but also tickets priced reasonably in the big scheme of things. I think people expect to pay a bit more for a ticket for a boxing bout, but I think there is a cynicism, especially when you speak to people that live and work within Vegas. You feel like they've seen it all before, you know, that they're very cynical of this as a sporting event, and it is a real shame. I think what would, you know, if you're the sort of person that is coming over here, or is already over here, I think if you're prepared to hold your nerve, I think you might be able to pick up a ticket maybe an hour before the fight off a tout for very, very little money in comparison to the face value.
I bet you can't wait. Right, have you been partying hard this week? Have you made the most of Vegas?
You know what, so far we've been fairly steady. It got ramped up a gear last night, and we're obviously out after I've done this interview. We're off to a nightclub for a bit of a party there. But again, you know, we're up early in the morning because it's UK time over there, and we're doing some stuff with Johnny Nelson, Anna Woolhouse, who's going to be anchoring the pay-per-view event on Sky. So I think we're doing Facebook Live with them at about 10:30, 11 a.m. Las Vegas time. So we are partying, but believe it or not, and I'm probably saying this as a disclaimer, we are actually doing some work over here as well, Steve.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.